Hi, today's April 5th, 2020. This is Mobile News Podcast 323. I'm Todd Agasa-Ward, my good friend John Westfall. And we think, and we say this a lot, we think this is going to be a really short podcast, but worth doing in any case. So, John, how you doing? I'm in week two, week one and a half of our quarantine.
Things are going fairly well here. Things are busy in very mundane ways, but also very abnormal, you know. So I think we're adapting, but it is a rough go in some of that adaptation. But this week I had some surprisingly normal things to deal with, and we'll talk about one of them.
Okay.
With a technology failure, and otherwise, you know, life just moves on.
Yep. Okay, so the first thing I wanted to mention, because I think you probably have opinion on this, is Microsoft is rebranding Office 365, the brand they already have, Microsoft 365. So as of last month or whenever, Microsoft 365 was basically, I think, Office 365 plus a Windows client license. And now it's something else.
It's interesting because what I see Microsoft trying to do is bring some of the very cool things they're doing in the business space into the home consumer space.
Yeah,
very true. And some of those are interesting. The Microsoft Editor that you've got in here, we can talk about that.
Yep.
And I think we've seen previews of this, you know, so the design ideas in PowerPoint for Mac have been very cool to see that AI-assisted technology. So I think what they're basically doing is smart. It's bringing some really cool things from the business space into the consumer space, but I don't know why renaming was important.
Right.
But I guess in their mind, it's beyond just Office. It is now Microsoft.
Yeah.
You know, they're such experts at naming things.
I know.
We've never had a problem with Microsoft naming ever.
Yeah. You are so right. Because, yeah, we've always wondered, right, about, you know, what I was going to use a bad word. What not so smart people that they contract to do their branding? Because their branding is horrible, generally speaking. You know, with the exception of maybe Xbox. Okay, and there we go. With the exception of Xbox. You know, their branding is just terrible. But yeah, okay, so let's talk about one of the new things that's going to be added, which I thought was surprising, and then upon thinking about it some more, maybe not surprising. And so they're going to include it. I'm not sure when this is going to happen. I haven't checked if my account includes it. So the home edition, whatever it's called, in the personal edition, the one with five licenses and up to 60 devices per license, that one, it's about $100 a year, I think, is going to include Microsoft Teams for home. So the first question is, does that mean Skype is going to go away? But because it's only for Office, maybe not. So
that's one has good to wonder question. I don't know. Microsoft, like Google, loves to spawn different communications platforms. And so I guess we will have to see what their plan is. Teams for home, I'm just glad they didn't call it Microsoft Families, because that seems like what it would be.
Yeah.
You know, just to further confuse things. You know, I get very annoyed that OneDrive for Business is basically SharePoint.
Yes,
and it's really hard to explain that to people. So yeah. I'm sort of glad they've kept calling it Microsoft Teams until next month when they decide it has to be Microsoft Families.
Well, you know, also Microsoft OneDrive for Business. I'm sorry. Skype for Business is nothing to do with Skype, the original Skype branding. It's actually Link, L-Y-N-C is, you know, Microsoft Watchers or call. But anyway, this Teams for Home, let's hope they called it that, Teams for Home Edition or whatever they're going to call it, actually looks pretty good. It says you can, a free version, it's free, so it's part of your Office 365 subscription, includes the following for up to 300 people, which I found kind of interesting. Unlimited chat message and a search, okay, fine, that's a given. Built-in audio and video calling for individuals, groups, and full team meetups. 10 gigabytes of team file storage, plus 2 gigabytes per person for personal storage. I guess, you know, this is over and beyond the terabyte you get with OneDrive. Integrated real-time content creation for Office Online apps, including built-in Word, Excel, PowerPoint, and OneNote. So that's the web version, which we already get, but I guess everybody in the team gets access to it, which is kind of nice. And unlimited app integrations from 140 business apps to choose from. So there are third-party apps you can add into Teams, which I've looked at, but I haven't really done. And finally, the ability to communicate and collaborate with anyone inside or outside of your organization, backed by Microsoft Secure Global Infrastructure. So, you know, it sounds basically like Teams that, you know, that we have in business. I use Teams every day as part of my workday stuff. And quite frankly, during this whole COVID-19 craziness, it's saved our bacon in enabling us to easily, you know, work together, collaborate, share, that sort of thing. It's been awesome. One of the things I told people when they started, you know, when we were told we had to leave the office and work from home and all of that, people say, oh, well, you know, let's, you know, set up a pool of, not a pool, but make sure everybody has a cell phone number. I says, no, don't make sure everybody has a cell phone number. Everybody hop on Teams, call on Teams.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really wish Teams would have wider adoption within the organizations that I work, just because that is the problem. Everyone knows everyone's private cell phone number. We have a lot of text threads, and it's very frustrating to not have that all unified in a place that can easily be referenced and checked and all those things.
Yeah, I mean, and it's. I was surprised, you know, not being much of a IRC person in the old days or anything, I was really surprised how useful group chats are, especially when you can label them, you know, for specific topics. It's just been a gift to be able to do all of that really easily and, you know, share files within the group chat and all that kind of stuff. So really cool. The next item is also apparently going to be part of this whole Microsoft 365 personal and family subscribers. It says, okay, so Microsoft Editor. I was really confused by this. I thought they were going to replace Notepad at first or WordPad or something, but it turns out it's more like Grammarly. So it's a writing tool, you know, so it has spell and basic grammar checking. It says it's across WordOutlook.com and the web for free with a Microsoft sign-in. But if you have a 365 personal or family subscription, it includes access to advanced grammar and style refinements. So, you know, I don't use Grammarly. I think you do or did. So I'm kind of looking forward to that.
Yeah, I have Grammarly installed. I've used it here and there. And it is helpful. I'm really interested to see where this goes. And hopefully, you know, Clippy in the old days tried to help us write letters. And we didn't want Clippy's help.
We didn't like Clippy.
But I think it would be interesting to see ways that this will help people think about how best to communicate their ideas. I was recently talking with one of our mutual friends who got a new job at an unnamed company. Mm-hmm. And at that company, they basically told him, we don't do PowerPoint.
Oh, interesting.
Everything we do is 1 to 2 page treatments.
Huh.
And you write these up, and that's how you pitch your ideas. And if you can't write, you don't get far at our company, because we are not going to have you just send out a bullet-pointed PowerPoint presentation.
Interesting.
You have to write a compelling narrative of what you want to do and why you want to do it and justify it and all that. And I think that's a skill that we're losing in business and in personal communication.
Yeah.
Just do not have a very good grasp of narrative structure anymore, to the point that this is probably the biggest problem I see with my dissertation students. They write in bullet points.
Interesting.
They don't understand when I tell them you need a transition, you need to walk the reader through why you're talking about these things. Because in their mind, it's self-evident. And if they were giving a presentation, it would be bullet one, bullet two, bullet three.
Done.
Yeah, done. And of course, you can see the links. Well, that's not how writing actually works. That's how, you know, conversation might work if you were to boil it down to salient points. So.
Well, you know,
the worst thing we ever got was the Microsoft default PowerPoint slide with 3 bullets and a title.
Right. You know, and I was just thinking in this generation of social media, to them, a, you know, lengthy narrative is a 140 character tweet. So
yeah, don't even get started on transition sentences and things like that. That's completely foreign concept for many.
You know,
people.
I wonder if people have learned to communicate differently because of Twitter. you know, not so much Facebook and other, you know, social media type things you can do longer. Instagram is another weird one because you're really doing, you know, is a picture really worth 1,000 words? They might try that on you, you know, say it's a 5,000 word term paper and they give you 5 pictures. But, you know, you wonder if Twitter, it's really forced me to make my utterances more concise. Mm-hmm. And actually more than concise, really just chop it up into, you know, a syntactic mess sometimes, but you have to wonder. But I'm looking forward to see this Microsoft editor thing, you know, certainly I could use some help, but I wonder if it's actually useful. You know, some of the early grammar checkers were, including Microsoft's, the one that's built into Word, or style checker, whatever you call it, were like, I don't really agree with your suggestion there. That doesn't make sense to me, but could just be me. All right. So you ran into a little problem this week, huh?
Yeah, I had a weird situation happen that I did not expect to have to deal with this early on. So about, I guess, the beginning of November, I got a pair of AirPods Pro to replace the AirPods that I had been using since they came out. I had a first-gen AirPods, and I still have it. I actually have the AirPods now always kind of tethered to my iPad, and it just kind of sits by the side of the bed, so I'm watching videos at night. I don't have to switch AirPods, et cetera, and I use the AirPods Pro on my phone. So I was having a phone call conversation with my mother on, I guess this was Wednesday, and I noticed that my right AirPod was getting very scratchy whenever volume would get up to a high level. And someone, you know, would start talking, you'd hear this, you know, high whine sort of thing. And it sounded like basically one of the speakers had blown. You know, you were still getting volume, but it wasn't quite right. So I downloaded an app that lets you test basically play a static tone through your earphones.
Right.
And I realized that, yes, at the right, I put the left one in and the right one. The left one, if you put the volume all the way up with this one tone, you would get clear audio. It would be loud, but it would be clear. The other side, you get this kind of scratchy reverberation noise to it. Didn't sound right. So I went on Apple's support website, and I found out that for AirPod troubleshooting, you cannot do the text chat. You have to do a phone call, which sort of annoyed me. So I
especially
put in my
since your AirPod doesn't work.
Yeah, I put in my information. The support representative called me. We were on the phone for, I want to say, about 20 minutes of troubleshooting.
Wow, that's pretty long.
It was all stuff that I had already done, but I was being a nice person and going through the, you know, yes, I have changed this, I have done this, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Let me see. How long was that? I guess this was Tuesday. Maybe not. And, you know, all the days tend to run together.
Yeah, I hear you.
It was Tuesday. We were on the phone for 21 minutes. At the end of that 21 minutes, she basically said, sounds like we need to do a replacement.
Yeah.
So I said, yep, that's what I'd like. 24 hours later, I got my replacement right AirPod, which came in a bag. Usually Apple replacement products come in a box. This is actually in a resealable bag.
Yeah.
So, I popped out the bad one, put the new one in my case. Took a little while of repairing and things like that. The AirPod was almost dead, so it had to charge the battery and that sort of thing. And got it reworking after a little while, after resetting it a couple times, and it's been working fine ever since.
Why do you think it needed to be reset a couple times before it could pair?
You know, I'm not quite sure. I think the case, you know, the way it triggers kind of the repairing system with the both of them, the left one, which had been paired, kept working just fine. The right one, I had to do like 2 resets to get it to work.
I wonder if, I mean, they obviously didn't tell you anything, but I wonder if the best process is to unpair the AirPods completely before you try to pair the new one. I mean, including the broken one. Maybe that would help.
Yeah, there's 2 or 3 different ways you can do a reset of the AirPods.
Yeah.
And in one case, I think you reset everything completely back to factory. In another, you just put it into pairing mode. So eventually, after trying a few different steps, I got it working just fine. So I am happy that the replacement, and of course I then sent it back. I dropped it in the FedEx drop box near my house. And within, I think, 24 hours, I got confirmation from Apple that they had received it back and that they were taking the hold off my credit card. The hold was for $97, which I guess is the price of a single AirPod Pro, yeah, if you need to buy it. And they took the hold off the card, and I'm happy again with my new right AirPod Pro.
Yeah. You know, on a slightly related note, I wonder if they're ever going to have more different sizes of that silicone, whatever you call it, earpiece for your ear canal, you know, to fit it in the ear canal. Because I mentioned to you when I first got my AirPod Pro, my very first AirPod, the left side fits really nice and snugly, and the right side, the adjustment app or component in settings says, no, you're not really getting a good fit. And I'm already on the largest one. And basically, it does fall out of my right ear. Left ear never falls out, but the right ear falls out. I need an extra, extra large. I've got a big ear hole.
Interesting you mention that, because my wife has AirPods Pro, and she was actually able to find third-party ear tips. And she's been using those. So you might be able to find them if you take a look around.
Okay, I'm going to just put that down in my tab, AirPod Pro ear tips. I'll search for something. I guess I should say extra large. Extra large. There you go. All right. Yeah, there are a couple. Doesn't say what the size is. But, okay, good tip. Literally. I wanted to mention, follow up on something we've been talking about. I got my iPad, my 2020 iPad Pro a little while ago. I think that's UPS or something behind me. And it's been spontaneously rebooting on me every now and then. What was one it rebooted on me that I reached out to the vendor. Oh, thank you. Yep, leave it anywhere. Thank you. I just got a box in. Yay. At any rate, I just wanted, so it. Oh, I know what it was. It was my favorite my drawing app, Procreate. Every now and then, reboots the iPad Pro spontaneously. So I thought maybe it's the app, because I don't see that on other iPads that I have. And the other one was just happened yesterday. Oh, I know. It was an AR, an augmented reality app that I downloaded, a free one, to the iPad Pro, and it was working, and then it just froze, and then it rebooted. So I don't know. I think there's one other app that caused it to reboot. It's always in an app. It's not just, you know, sitting idle on a home screen or something when it reboots. So it's something triggered. Not sure. I think it's the particular model of the iPad Pro, because I use these. Well, I didn't use the augmented reality app. But I certainly use the Procreate drawing app in other iPads, and it doesn't cause that problem. So I'm suspecting there's something funky with the iPad Pro 2020 itself. But other than that, it's been working great. Love the Apple Pencil too. Haven't really found anything specifically that really makes the iPad Pro 2020 sing. Haven't tried a mouse or trackpad with it yet. I did order a not the $300 Apple keyboard, but I ordered like a $30 or $35 Bluetooth keyboard with a trackpad. So I'm hoping that will work with it. It'll take a couple weeks, maybe a month to get here. So I'm looking forward to that. But it's been a pretty good experience, except for this spontaneous reboot.
Yeah, hopefully that's just a issue with certain software and, you know, an API call or something like that that is causing it on the newer models. I guess we'll have to see what happens in the next few weeks. Hopefully it will get better and not worse. You know, one of my favorite games was broken on iPad for 3 years.
Oh, don't make me
cry.
And then
they finally fixed it.
Don't make me cry, because, you know, mine aren't broken. They just won't run because they're 32-bit games.
Yeah, yours was just killed.
Yeah, so very, very sad, and I still haven't found a game that can replace them. Haven't looked hard. I did download, of all things, Plague Inc., which I think you mentioned to me like a long time ago. So, but that was a little too real, to be honest. It might have been funny 6 months ago, but right now it's maybe a little too real. It is fun to play, though. I will say it's a very entertaining game, and apparently there's an add-on you can buy that makes you sort of on the other side. You can stop the plague instead of being the cause of it. So perhaps that would be more satisfying from a, you know, people point of view. Wanted to mention a couple other things. I don't remember if we talked. I think it only happened this week. Dark Sky, my favorite. Did we talk about this last week? I can't remember.
No, we did not. But we did bring it up. But okay. It's still kind of fresh wounds, I think.
Yeah. So Dark Sky got bought by Apple. No more Android version. Yeah, we did talk about it last week. It did happen late last week. And let's see, there was one more thing. Shoots, I was gonna bring it up. I can't remember. But that's okay. Any rate, this has been a very short Mobile Views podcast, but that's okay. So we'll talk to you next time.